Robert here. We're going on summer vacation for the next few weeks, so we recorded a few mini episodes with friends of the pod. But first, we have our producer, Lucinda Deggerlin, in the hot seat. Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerlin.
Hey, hey, hey.
And today we have Lucinda Deggerlin.
It's me.
We are so happy to have you on this little mini-sode.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
Today, everyone, we're going to find out a little bit more about our producer, Lucinda.
In the hot seat.
Yes.
Hit me.
So, Lucinda, take us back.
Both my parents were in the military, and as soon as they got married, they made a conscious decision to start having children, and as such, my mom hopped out of the military. But we spent a lot of my childhood moving around a lot. We lived on both sides of the Atlantic. We lived, you know, Gulf Coast, New England. All that is to say is that we moved around a lot, and my parents didn't necessarily want to commit their children to any extracurricular activities. But I remember so vividly. I remember the day that I came home from school and I was in fifth grade and my mom asked me if I wanted to start dance class. And I was like, oh my gosh, absolutely, sign me up. Where do we start? Back then in the 90s, at the time we were living in Naples, Italy.
Wow.
My dance class was Saturday mornings and I looked forward to Saturday morning. I mean, from the moment I got home from dance class, Saturday afternoon, it was ticking down to the next one next week. It was the highlight of my week.
What type of dance did you start with?
Ballet, tap, nice. Jazz, you know, standard.
Yeah.
I remember something that the teacher said, and you might not be able to believe it now because I think I've lost some along the way, but she told my mom that I had a lot of grace. LOL. That obviously stuck with me, and at the end of the year, she gave out two scholarships for the year after, and I got one of them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And it was that recognition that kept me, I mean, that's not really healthy to say, but it kept me addicted to it.
It allowed you to be grounded in something for the first time.
Yeah.
And that became, I'm assuming, a through line for you
mm-hmm.
in every future place that you went.
I did continue to do dance. It felt like a community. And some of the now women that we went to dance with, I am still in touch with.
Wow.
I am still in touch with that first dance teacher. She yeah. came to my wedding.
Oh, that's incredible.
From 1995 to 2017.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I continued to do dance throughout middle school, high school, tried it in college, but I wasn't enjoying it as much. Now I have appreciation for it from like more of a spectator perspective and understanding that these are actual athletes
mm-hmm.
and the dedication and the work and the perseverance that goes into it is, I think, unmatched.
Yes. And I think what you've been able to do is, even as you've continued to be a part of a military family mm. that is always on the move, that dance community continues to be your foundation and through line.
Mm-hmm.
You continue to go to dance performances
mm-hmm.
in every city that you visit or you live in, and you were able to find another whole community in patronage in the patronage at Philadelphia Ballet.
Indeed. What was the question?
What got you into the arts as a kid?
I will also say I always had an interest in visual arts as well. Mm-hmm. When I was living in Italy, again, 1995.
It was your Renaissance period.
It was my Renaissance period, guys. Peaked then. My mom used to watch Good Morning America at 3 p.m.
Wow.
From the day before. Mm-hmm. We got it through Armed Forces Network. Back then, it was a single channel. These days, when I was in Asia, there were a solid 8 channels. So
really moving things, up.
I mean, in the 22 years, I tell you. But every day, my mom would watch GMA. At the time, Spencer Christian was the weatherman in that era. He had a segment called Refrigerator Art where parents would send in their kids' art and they would put it on the GMA refrigerator.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
One day I wrote down the address and I sent my own art in to Spencer Christian. I neglected to write down the zip code and my mom was very doubtful that it was ever going to arrive. But one day, my mom wasn't watching it at that particular day, but my mom's friend happened to be recording something that was going on air earlier that day.
Yeah.
And it caught GMA, which she watched. And Spencer Christian, no joke, said, "And today's art is from 9-year-old Lucinda in Naples, Italy." And puts my drawing of some flowers up on the GMA refrigerator.
What? Wow.
And it's just been downhill ever since, guys.
Again with the peaks. Again with the peaks.
I obviously showed an interest in art when I was younger. Performance, visual. And then I think when you get older, something happens where you get the impression that you have to be more practical with what life route you choose. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I regret not listening to my intuition and doing something less conventional than where I landed today. Mm-hmm. I'm a very multifaceted person. I've got a very analytical side to me that loves an Excel sheet. That professional role really satisfies that side to me. Mm-hmm. And I get to do this, meaning podcasting, which satisfies and serves the creative.
Yeah.
Not that I'm particularly doing anything creative or creating anything other than just podcast edits, but I get to talk about it.
Oh, yes, you are.
And we get to see it.
This was entirely your creation.
Thank you.
You're orchestrating each and every part of this. And so this is your art. And you should recognize that. It's art has many different forms. And this is the way that yours is then being put together at the moment. Hmm. And so it's nice that you now have been able to find that balance between what you have to do during the day to get through and then be able to then balance it with the creative side with what you're doing with the podcast now.
To be fair, I don't feel like I'm just getting through. I feel like I am thriving in that role.
Heck yeah. Apologies. Yes. Yes.
Next
definitely.
Question.
So you've had an opportunity to be all over the world and been able to live in a multitude of places and experience many different cultures. What brought you to Philadelphia and why did you choose to put your roots here?
Good question. Originally, my husband and I were in a long-distance relationship while we were dating and while we were engaged. We never lived in the same city. That sounds really sketchy. It's not, I assure you.
Sure.
I lived in DC. He lived on the West Coast. I was able to concentrate on my career and keep that centered, keep myself. Myself is my center.
Mm-hmm.
I decenter the men in my life. Just kidding, babe. Just kidding, petit garçon. Just kidding, baby doo. Keeping myself centered. And at the time, my fiance was going to be moving to Philadelphia for his job. And I thought that coming from DC, that would be an easy transition for me. And I was kind of coming up in a point where I was looking for a change. So I moved to Philadelphia. I moved in with my husband, then fiance. Spoiler alert, we're still together. And I really enjoyed my time. I loved living in Philadelphia. We lived in NoLibs at the time. Philadelphia has something that the transient city that DC is does not have.
Mm-hmm.
While there are a lot of like multi-generational families here, that's not the entirety of the population. There's enough people coming in that are from everywhere else. And yet it's not a constant turnover of people.
Every four years.
You know it. Yeah. Okay. Something else that I always say about Philadelphia versus DC is that Philadelphia is a diet city. Not like everybody's on a diet or everybody's like freaking fit or anything like that, but it feels very manageable. It feels very walkable. It's easier on the wallet. It has everything that I loved about DC, but it's in a better package, honestly.
Yeah.
After living in Philadelphia for 3 years, my husband and I moved out to the West Coast for like a 3-month period for him to do a project out there. Then we moved back to DC for what was supposed to be 6 months, ended up being 1 year and 6 months due to the pandemic. And oh, I had a kid there, by the way. And then we went overseas to Asia for 2 years, pandemic, kid and all. And then at the very beginning of my husband's project in Asia, I started looking at Zillow home listings for Philadelphia. And I realized just how relatively affordable it was for the urban life that I wanted, mm-hmm. as opposed to a Washington, D.C. And from that early, I guess it would have been early February 2021, I started manifesting a move back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And manifestation works because, bitches, here I am.
Yeah, she is. Yes, she is. And thriving.
Thriving.
Putting down thick roots, too.
Guys, I'm not moving again unless, like, it's a nicer house in, like, a nearby neighborhood.
Yes. There are contingency plans.
You know what? I would be amenable to, honestly, we have a 3-story home right now. I need something that is 2-story. These knees are killing me. I can't age in this home.
Right. Doorman, here we come.
Exactly. Get ready to plunk down for that HOA.
Yes. In your time in Philadelphia, you have had a chance to see and immerse yourself in all of the art. Is there one that has spoken to you the most during your time here? And if so, why?
This is going to sound like a stock answer, but it's ballet, obviously. And I think it's because I have such an emotional connection to it. But also, I've been able to build a community around who I've met through the ballet here. Not just Ballet Philadelphia, but I would also say Ballet X. And I have also given my oldest son the option to experience it as well. And I have to say, you know, for example, a heartwarming moment a few months back where I used the word combination in a context that wasn't related to dance. And my son said, combination, that's what Mrs. Jillian teaches every Saturday. And I'm like, excuse me? You're right, but that's not what I was talking about. Let's get this lock combination fixed.
Can you share with us what inspired you to start this podcast?
I knew I wanted to talk about art, and specifically about ballet, and specifically the Philadelphia Ballet, but I knew that we were not going to get the permission from the powers that be to have a sanctioned podcast. And so later on that year, read between the lines, people, Q4, I thought that it might be a good idea to expand the scope to all art, specifically to the city of Philadelphia, because we are mere mortals, and support the art and the artists as best we can. We all have a way of protesting, and we have to find that one specific way that works for us. And this is my specific way.
That's excellent. You're finding the best way to use your voice.
And sometimes that's not using my voice at all. Sometimes I lower the volume right. on my microphone. This bitch does not need to talk. But you get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's been the most interesting conversation you think we've had so far?
On Black Wombhood.
Yeah.
I think was most powerful. I also really liked what Keelan Whitmore said on behalf of Ballet X. Mm-hmm. We've only recorded up to 17 right now, but it simultaneously feels like more. I can't recall everyone at this moment, but it also feels like I could count them on my hand. It's insane how mm-hmm. quickly this project snowballed.
Right. On to some rapid fire questions.
Oh my gosh. Okay. One words. Let's go.
Yep. What's your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood? You knew these were coming.
I did not. Because I wrote them. Old City.
Cheesesteaks, with or without?
Here's my dirty little secret. I've never eaten a cheesesteak.
Are you kidding me? Lucinda. We're going tonight. John's out of town. I need to get food.
It doesn't seem appetizing
for me. I don't care. You need to try it. We're going to Angelo's.
TBD.
If you could have any piece of art in your home, no limitations, what would it be?
Definitely a Henri Matisse. A still life.
Nice.
I don't have the specific name, but you know the genre?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was influential on Lucinda's refrigerator art.
Perfect.
It wasn't at all derivative. I feel like I need to say this. Influential, not derivative.
Yes.
A Philly artist or performer or gallerist that people are sleeping on?
Tony LaSalle.
Nice.
I love his abstracts.
Yeah. Favorite drink of the moment?
You've already asked me this one before, but it's a clean martini as made by my husband.
Oh, yeah.
We don't throw that olive dirt water in our... I don't sully my gin.
You are horrible. I love a dirty martini. Out of every place that you lived, other than Philadelphia mm-hmm. and D.C., mm-hmm. what was your favorite?
Brunswick, Maine, which sounds really random, but I spent most of my elementary school years there. Mm-hmm. And it was just the most idyllic place to go to elementary school at. It was like a Stars Hollow wishes it was Brunswick, Maine.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Set it here. I went to school at an elementary school that is no longer open, but I went to elementary school down the street from Bowdoin College.
Wow.
Yeah. My parents, I think, had high hopes for me to go to Bowdoin for a while, but that did not happen. I don't regret it. Too cold.
Those Maine winters.
I mean, nothing compared to the Kazakhstan winters.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I also lived in Kazakhstan. Anything else?
No, thank you for the conversation.